Welcome to the Day One Podcast Extra. This is Peter Wallace, and with me today is the Reverend Dr. Alan Hunt. Alan is Senior Minister of Mount Pisgah United Methodist Church in Alpharetta, Georgia, and he's also the host of the weekly The Alan Hunt Show, which is broadcast on WSB Radio 750 here in Atlanta and available online at
AlanHuntShow.com.
AlanHuntShow.com. A-L-L-E-N.
Thank you.
Alan, we're glad to have you.
Pleasure to be here, Peter.
You moved to Atlanta after you graduated from Mercer University with a business degree, and you were pretty immersed in the business world, but something happened. What was it?
Yeah, I had majored in finance and in history when I was at Mercer and moved to Atlanta and worked for a consulting firm and really had a fun time doing that. Traveled a lot, got to see a lot of different kinds of businesses, meet different kinds of situations and issues and problems. And I'm kind of a generalist, so I enjoyed that. And I started dating Anita a little bit when we were at Mercer, and we both got jobs in Atlanta. We really weren't dating at that time. And we reconnected a few months after graduation. This is the woman who would eventually become my wife. And to her, going to church was very important. She had grown up Southern Baptist. It had always been a part of her weekly life to include worship on Sunday. I had grown up in the United Methodist Church, but really over the last six to eight years had really not had any real expression of God or of grace or of worship in my life. And as Anita and I started dating more regularly in Atlanta, she said, you know, if I'm important to you, you need to know that church is important to me. And I said, well, I guess that means that church is going to need to be important to me too. And so I said, you know, I'm not sure that I can go to church with you at a Southern Baptist church. I grew up in the Methodist church. If you'll find a Methodist church near you that has an 8:30 service, because I don't want to waste my whole Sunday going to church. I don't want to get home at 1 o'clock. You know, let's go at 8:30. I'll pick you up and we'll go. And so that day she literally got out and she found Briarcliff Methodist Church here in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And one or two Sundays after that, I picked her up and we went to Briarcliff. And the very first Sunday that we walked in, Peter, at the 8:30 service, there was probably 80 or 100 people there. It wasn't large. We walked in, and as soon as worship began, it was the first time I'd been in worship in a while. I had just a clear sense of God's presence in a way I had not in a long time, and that began a real spiritual reawakening in me. Mm-hmm. I planned on going back to graduate school and doing an MBA. I really liked consulting. I was thinking either consulting or investment banking, and was planning on doing that. And over the course of the next year or two, as we worshiped at Briarcliff, and I got to know the pastor there, and I began to get involved in a Sunday school class and in some of the ministries there, I really began to fall in love with God. And so the time came for me to begin filling out my applications for grad school, for business school, and I realized that my heart wasn't in it anymore. I'd planned most of my life for this moment and organized everything around that, and that was my passion, and then I realized that the passion wasn't there anymore, and I didn't know what to do. So I kept working, and I had some different experiences, and I guess the last one is the one that was the most dramatic, but the last one, I was working for a client up on Wall Street in New York. And we were working on a merger and acquisition type deal. And I was up there in February or March. It was pretty dreary. It was pouring down rain. I was in a cab with a colleague of mine who was on the project with me, a fellow named Alfonso, who's originally from El Salvador, a great guy. And we were in the cab, and we pulled up in front of this office tower right on the harbor there, beautiful luxury tower, going up to meet with some investment bankers in these plush offices looking over the Statue of Liberty, Ellis Island. It was gorgeous. Pouring down rain, nasty, early in the morning, got out of the cab, walked on the sidewalk across to go into the building. And in order to walk into the front door of the building there on Wall Street, I had to step over a homeless man who was huddled on a subway grating for warmth. He was in the pouring down rain, so he was drenched, but he was getting warmth out of the subway grating, and I had to step over him to go in to do this really heady deal. And boy, wasn't I important. Mm. And at that moment, God spoke to me. He had been working on me for a while, but at that moment, God spoke to me. And I still remember what I heard. And God said, Alan, when are you going to stop serving yourself and start serving me? So I came back to Atlanta after that trip was over. And I took Anita to dinner. And I said, Anita, I have been wrestling with this. And I really believe that God's calling me to leave business to go into full-time ministry. And she asked me to take her home. she said, there is no way on God's green earth that you would have thought of this on your own, because you're just not that type of person. And she said, we were engaged at the time. We weren't married.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, I'll give you an out clause here, because you didn't get engaged to a pastor. And she said, I need some time to think about this. Mm-hmm. So just take me home. And about a week later, we talked again, and she said, you know, I really believe this is what God's calling us to do, and we've never looked back.
Mm. Well, making such a radical change in your life had to be challenging, but how fast did things change once you had that awakening?
We were scheduled to get married in June, mm-hmm. and the dates are all kind of blurry at this point, as it's been 20 years ago, but we were scheduled to get married in June, and so I shared with the firm that I was working with that I'd be leaving in June. And so I guess 3 or 4 months later, after kind of that final experience where I committed, okay, this is the step that I'm going to mm-hmm. take, left the firm, got married, and then moved to rural Georgia to pastor a small Methodist church while I was going to enroll in seminary at Emory, and drove back and forth to Atlanta. So really just after that moment, and after Anita and I reached that decision together, we began putting all the pieces in place to proceed, because I've never been one to make a decision and then wait or mull or regret or think about it. Once I'm there, I'm there. And so we just sort of started.
So you never had any "what have I done here" kind of moments? Or?
You know, really, and this is what we have a lot of people in our congregation now who go into full-time ministry from all ages. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I always tell them is make sure you really know, because there's going to be some things in ministry that are not going to be fun, mm-hmm. and you're not going to want to do this. And you need to know at the end of the day that beyond any shadow of a doubt that God has called you to this. And after that experience, Peter, I really knew that God has called me to this. And I'm not a person who I regret has never been a part of my life. I've made a lot of bad decisions. I don't regret them. I just try to learn from those, mm-hmm. and allow God to move me forward. And so we never looked back. I loved what I was doing at the consulting firm. They seemed to be pleased with my performance. I had things kind of laid out for what I wanted to do. But I haven't looked back. I really haven't.
Well, now at Mount Pisgah, you have a very thriving ministry. You must be a very busy person. You've got your radio program and so forth. You've also got a number of interests in life and hobbies. How do you keep things balanced?
Well, you said I have a very thriving ministry. I would say we have a very thriving ministry. And I think that's important in mm-hmm. terms of answering your question. The ministry at Mount Pisgah, it's not mine.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, it's not ours, it's God's first. And second of all, it's a team of staff and the lay people of the congregation. And it's the lay people in that congregation that truly make the ministry at Mount Pisgah extraordinary. And we also have an incredible staff team. Over the last couple of years, we've really assembled some extraordinary people. And that's allowed me to really focus for the first time in my ministry on the two or three things that I do well. And the two or three things that I believe God's called me to do, teach, preach, communicate, lead, cast vision, that kind of stuff,
mm-hmm.
And not do the things that I don't do as well, management, day-to-day operations, those kinds of things, because we have really excellent people who do that. And so it's been very, very freeing, so that I now focus on preaching each Sunday, doing the radio show, casting the vision for the congregation, and being a cheerleader and the lead prayer for what we're doing. And then other people are doing everything else. So it's a team sport. It really is.
Let's talk about your radio program a little bit more. Tell us again how that got started and what your goal is for that program.
Our goal is to reach people with the good news of Jesus Christ who otherwise might not ever give that a consideration or a passing glance. And we try to do that in a fun, entertaining, life pertinent kind of way. That's why we've intentionally chosen to be on mainstream stations. News Talk 750 WSB, as you know, Peter, is the leading talk radio station in the Southeast. And by being on a mainstream station, we are intentionally seeking to target people who aren't churched, people who either are seeking something in their life or are trying to evaluate faith in their life. And it's not a sermon. It's not a Bible study. It's pure talk radio. We'll talk about real life kinds of subjects. Last week we talked about abortion. A couple weeks ago we had the September 11th 5-year anniversary. Did a show on internet porn where we invite people who are dealing with these kinds of things. On the, for example, the internet porn show, we had a 16-year-old boy call in who said, you know what, I had a pop-up on my computer screen 3 or 4 years ago, and I got sucked into this whole world that I never knew existed. Now I can't get out. The very next caller was a 56-year-old truck driver driving through downtown Atlanta from out of town, heard the 16-year-old boy and called in and said, I want him to hear my story, how porn has ruined my life. I'm on my fourth marriage. I can't get my act together. So he will know where his life's going to head if he doesn't get some help now. So it's real life kinds of stuff. It's not me, you know, quoting scripture. It's me just talking to folks about real life kinds of things, and it's gotten an enormous response because people find it to be a safe, fun place. We do a lot of entertaining kinds of things as well. And it started just 2 years ago when a fellow in our congregation who's an entrepreneurial vision kind of guy, who's done well in business and is just really, really sharp strategic thinker, came to me with the idea and said, I think we really ought to think about doing something on talk radio. And frankly, I had no idea what that would be. Never would have dreamed of this ministry. Nobody else is doing it. We prayed, God opened doors. We prayed some more, God opened more doors. We prayed again, God kept opening doors. And finally I said, you know what, we need to start walking through these doors because it's been the most Abraham-like faith journey of my life, even more so than going into the ministry. I had more surety about that than I did this, that I just kind of keep going through the next door and God keeps opening them up. It's been really remarkable.
You talked about how you approach different topics on your radio program. Are there things you would say on the radio program that you wouldn't say in the pulpit and vice versa?
Absolutely. Absolutely. For example,
it's
on that
show. It's a different
show,
audience.
Yeah. It's more day-to-day real life. We've talked in graphic detail on the internet porn show. I had a woman who was a former stripper and former porn star be on the show and talk about what her life was like doing lap dances for men in clubs for $20 and the despair that she felt just in graphic detail. Another show we did on Islam and the nature and character of Islam, and had a woman who'd grown up in Iran in a Shiite Muslim family sharing about her experience and how she's come to faith in Christ and the contrast there, and then interacting with Muslim callers, some of whom were very gracious and others of whom were more confrontational. And so those kinds of things just aren't going to happen in a Sunday morning worship experience. The Sunday morning worship experience, my sermon is obviously it's more like a monologue. The talk radio show is like a community gathering, you know, and it's a very different kind of feel. And to me, that's what the appeal of it is. It's unlike anything else out there on talk radio.
Is this something that churches should be doing more of, do you think, using the media to get out the message?
I have a lot of people ask me, you know, if Mount Pisgah someday will be on TV. And I say, you know, I have never, ever felt God calling us to be on television. I'm not a television preacher. You look at me, you can see. I've got a face for radio. And I feel like a lot of churches try to use media and they don't necessarily do it well. And I'm not sure that helps the kingdom. I think the greater lesson for me in this has not been using the media or using the media well. It has been the church needs to find innovative ways to go talk to people on their terms where they are, rather than having a monologue with a megaphone standing on top of our rooftop saying, here's what we believe, here's what we believe, and then expecting people to come to us. I think it's we go in the spirit of Paul, in the spirit of John Wesley, in the spirit of circuit riders. We go where people are. We talk to them on their terms, and we say, here's who we are. Here's what we believe. I care about you. God cares about you. I'd like to hear what you have to say. And talk radio is one vehicle for doing that. Media is one way to do that, but there are lots of other ways to do that, even in the communities right around where we live.
Well, Alan, we appreciate your being with us very much. We're going to talk more about your church and its ministry in our next podcast extra. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much, Peter.